Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for Friday, the 5th of February, 2021. I'm joined by Callum, and before we begin, I'd just like to advertise the fact that you can go over to lotuseaters.com and sign up to become a premium member to get access to our premium content and, of course, read all of our news articles that we do on a daily basis. We'll be having a premium podcast going up about the position of Christopher Hitchens in the culture wars. And I thought that was a very, very interesting podcast. We've got lots of very interesting things on there. So I think it'll be well worth your time. And I think it'll be up tomorrow, I believe. But today, we're going to be talking about a very interesting article that was published in Time magazine. What will happen with Trump's impeachment? That will be happening on Tuesday next week. And how Labour responded to the grooming gang debate that was held in the UK Parliament. So let's just begin, because we've got a lot to get through. And I don't really know what to make of this, to be honest. I do know what I make of it, but what I mean, really, is I don't know what I can actually say about this on YouTube. So what I'm going to do is essentially just quote from this Time magazine article. Now, Time magazine, I believe we can treat as a credible source, right?
Yeah.
So we can just take what they say literally. As in the literal English definition of the words that they're using, we can just assume the meaning is exactly as a normal person, a regular, reasonable person would interpret it. And that's what makes this article such a shock. Now, again, before we begin, every single Republican should take the time to read this article. Every single one. Make sure that every Republican politician sees this. Make sure every talking head sees this. Don't allow this to just be something that we in this little part of the internet are aware of, because I just can't get over this. So as you can see, it's called The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election. Now, I personally find that to be a deeply ominous title and the sort of thing that just... I mean, I'm not even going to continue, actually. Let's just begin. So I'm extracting parts out of it, but and so I'm not going to be doing, you know, because it's a really long article, so I'm not going to read it word for word, but I'm extracting parts out of it that I'm just going to read to you. So it was all very, very strange. Trump said on December the 2nd, within days of the election, we witnessed an orchestrated effort to anoint the winner even while many key states were still being counted. In a way, Trump was right. There was a conspiracy unfolding behind the scenes, one that both curtailed the protests and coordinated the resistance from CEOs. Both surprises were the result of an informal alliance between left-wing activists and business titans. The pact was formalized in a terse, little-noticed joint statement of the US Chamber of Commerce and AFL-CIO published on the election day. AFL-CIO is a collection of American unions. So the people who would normally be against each other have decided to form an alliance, is what they're saying. Both sides would come to see it as a sort of implicit bargain, inspired by the summer's massive, sometimes destructive, racial justice protests, in which the forces of labor came together with the forces of capital to keep the peace and oppose Trump's assault on democracy.
So they're saying the big business of the United States teamed up with the big unions of the United States to stop Trump.
And they describe it as a conspiracy. They use that word.
That's the Times' wording.
That's the Times.
YouTube.
Yes, that's not us. We are not alleging a conspiracy. They are alleging a conspiracy. I mean, if anything, it just goes to show you that the leftists are class traitors. If nothing else, you know, this is... I mean, what more evidence do we need to show that if the left are prepared to get into bed with big business against the working man and woman of the United States?
Yeah.
Never trust them. Never trust them. The handshake between business and labor was just one component of a vast, cross-partisan campaign to protect the election, an extraordinary shadow effort dedicated not to winning the vote but to ensuring it would be free and fair, credible and uncorrupted.
What?
I mean, this sounds like the corruption to me.
We're not dedicated to winning the vote.
No. Not to winning the vote. But to ensuring it would be free and fair, credible and uncorrupted. It gets more interesting. Again, this is going to take ages, but we've got to go through this. For more than a year, a loosely organized coalition of operatives scrambled to shore up America's institutions as they came under simultaneous attack from a remorseless pandemic and an autocratically inclined president. The thing is, Trump did nothing autocratic. Not even right up until the very end. He didn't do anything. He didn't suppress the press. He didn't suppress his political opposition. He didn't take, like, vindictive action against left-wing institutions or organizations. And when he was appointing, say, Republican judges or anything like that, he appointed centrists, fair-minded people. This is wild. I just can't get over this framing. Though much of this activity took place on the left, it was separate from the Biden campaign and crossed ideological lines. Yeah, very interesting how they delineate it from the Biden campaign here. With crucial contributions by non-partisan and conservative actors. The scenario the shadow campaigners were desperate to stop was not a Trump victory. It was an election so calamitous that no results could be discerned at all. A failure of the central act of democratic self-governance that has been the hallmark of America since its founding. But why would there be a scenario where no winner could be discerned? It's just the person with the most votes. It's very easy. Anyway. Their work touched every aspect of the election. They got states to change voting systems and laws and helped secure hundreds of millions in public and private funding. They fended off voter suppression lawsuits, recruited armies of poll workers, and got millions of people to vote by mail for the first time. They successfully pressured social media companies to take a harder line against disinformation and used data-driven strategies to fight viral smears. So...
Right, all of those lean in the direction of the Democrats. The Obviously. Postal voting leaned in the direction of the Democrats.
Completely.
The way that social media companies have acted in response to, quote, disinformation, you know, all of a sudden certain types of people are disinformation, certain others aren't.
Yeah.
There's no fact check on AOC's claims, for example.
And the fact checks are over now.
Fact checks are gone.
Yeah, we don't fact check Biden.
That leans Democrat.
Obviously.
Okay, so
you're telling us... It's all in one direction.
There was a concerted effort in one direction here.
Well, as they describe it as a conspiracy.
Yeah.
The untold story of the election is the thousands of people of both parties who accomplished the triumph of American democracy at its very foundation, says Norm Eisen, a prominent lawyer and former Obama administration official who recruited Republicans and Democrats to the board of the Voter Protection Program. For Trump and his allies were running their own campaign to spoil the election. The president spent months insisting that mail ballots were a Democratic plot and the election would be rigged. His henchmen at the state level sought to block their use, while his lawyers brought dozens of spurious suits to make it more difficult to vote, an intensification of the GOP's legacy of suppressive tactics. But these things aren't vote rigging. I mean, it just seems that Trump spoke and didn't want to expand the use of mail-in ballots, which isn't a normal procedure, really.
No. Internationally, this is not a normal thing to do.
No.
We have massive problems even in the UK, as we documented with Birmingham.
And Leicester. There was a factory producing ballots in Leicester. Mm. And Amazon won't have their unions operate using mail-in ballots because of the threat of mail fraud. So it's like...
What was wrong with his concern?
Yeah, Trump's concerns seem to be legitimate. I don't see any evidence that Trump was trying to spoil the election unless you have a predetermined result in mind, and you may not get that result through the regular electoral process. Anyway, before the election, Trump plotted to block a legitimate vote count. And he spent months following November the 3rd trying to steal the election he'd lost with lawsuits and conspiracy theories, pressure on state and local officials, and finally summoning his army of supporters to the January 6th rally that ended in deadly violence in the Capitol. Well, lawsuits aren't illegal or illegitimate. Demanding a proper election isn't illegitimate, and protesting is also not illegitimate.
Like, the only thing that they've got is the violence at the Capitol, which Trump himself told them not to do.
Denounced.
And then denounced.
Repeatedly.
You know, after the fact, before the fact, you've got nothing on him.
He absolutely did not incite violence. And so they say, this is the inside story of the conspiracy to save the 2020 election. So Trump's conspiracy theories are being validated by Time magazine, who say that there was a conspiracy and they're going to tell us about it. I'm not misreading this, am I?
No, that's That's literally what they're writing.
I mean, that,
like, Trump is a conspiracy theorist who thinks there was a conspiracy to get the election away from him.
And here's how it worked.
And here's a conspiracy that was behind the 2020 election.
Yeah, to steal the election.
To make sure the election is free and fair.
And went the right way.
That sounds like a dog whistle.
Yeah. Well, let me finish this paragraph, because you'll see exactly what I mean. So this is the inside story of the conspiracy to save the 2020 election, based on access to the group's inner workings, never-before-seen documents, and interviews with dozens of those involved from across the political spectrum. It is the story of an unprecedented, creative, and determined campaign whose success reveals how close the nation came to disaster. Every attempt to interfere with the proper outcome of the election was defeated, says Ian Basson, the co-founder of Protect Democracy, a nonpartisan rule of law advocacy group. But it's massively important for the country to understand that it didn't happen accidentally. The system didn't work magically. Democracy is not self-executing. Now, the proper outcome implies some kind of predetermination. There is a predetermined result to the election if it can have a proper outcome. There is no such thing as a proper outcome in a democratic election, unless it is determined after the fact through the votes themselves.
The only charitable interpretation of that phrase I can think of is him thinking that the proper outcome was all of this election was legitimate and Joe Biden won, and his attempts to say that this was rigged were wrong, and the proper outcome is that Joe Biden won because it was all legitimate. But
that's not what he's saying, as far as I can tell.
It's not how it reads, no. I'll be honest. I'm just trying to think of some defense for this guy.
Every attempt to interfere with the proper outcome. And again, most of what they're accusing Trump of is speaking. Speaking is interfering with the proper outcome. That's why the participants want the secret history of the 2020 election told, even though it sounds like a paranoid fever dream. A well-funded cabal of powerful people ranging across industries and ideologies, working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change rules and laws, steer media coverage, and control the flow of information.
Okay. Let's go through that one by one.
Yeah.
So, to influence perceptions...
Well, hang on, before we start, it sounds like a paranoid fever dream, right? So it sounds absurd, and yet they're telling us that this absurdity that they're about to tell us is true. Right. So, a well-funded cabal of powerful people, ranging across the industries, working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change... So
there's two things I want to put together. Influence perceptions and, steer the media and information. Yep. Those are all things we kind of already know. It's just good to get an admission.
Yeah, and control the flow of information.
The elites of the United States use the media and the flow of information to control the narratives in their favor.
I've been through this article, so I can tell you exactly. We will get to exactly the names of these people.
Good.
They name the people involved.
But that part is, something we've vaguely known. It's good to get an admission that the elites do this. And technically isn't illegal. It's very scummy and we need to call it out.
Well, I think it might be illegal, actually.
I'm not sure it is, because it's just speech. But the other part of that,
you'll find it's when it is within a certain industry, it's something else. But anyway, it doesn't.
I don't want to get in weeds.
Yeah.
Okay. But the other part there, the changing of laws, that was the accusation by the Trump campaign that these laws were illegally changed. Ron Paul's still saying this message. This isn't my opinion. YouTube. It's Ron Paul and Trump's opinion.
But I mean, in Pennsylvania through executive fiat extend, and the same in Georgia, extend the date by which mail-in ballots could be counted,
which is claimed to be unconstitutional, which would be a violation of the law, which is something Trump did not do, as they've mentioned.
Yeah.
So your guy's conspiracy is already illegal by your own admission.
Yeah. But anyway, so they were not rigging the election; they were fortifying it. Again, a predetermined outcome has been assumed here. And I love that we have that. They were not rigging the election, they were fortifying it. Because on the face of it, it sounds like the election is being rigged as the natural interpretation of what they're saying. And so they have to counter this line of thought by saying, no, it's not rigging, it's fortifying.
We're fortifying democracy, not rigging the outcome.
Yeah.
I can, again, most charitable interpretation possible is them saying that expanding the amount of people who can vote is therefore protecting democracy. But of course, this is complicated by the fact that we know that mail-in voting is not safe.
And the fact that they're essentially...
They're also admitting to coordinating media narratives.
Conspiring to fix the outcome of the election.
Yeah, and to change laws which are unconstitutional.
They believe that the public needs to understand the system's fragility in order to ensure that democracy in America endures. That's, I just can't get over it. So we now come to the architect of all this, and this is a man called Mike Podhorzer, who became convinced that the election was headed for disaster and determined to protect it. And what he means there, and he explains it later, is that he thinks Trump's going to win. Senior advisor to the president of the AFL-CIO, the nation's largest union federation, he has marshalled the latest tactics and data to help its favourite candidates win elections. It was only after months of research that he introduced his concerns in a newsletter in October 2019. The usual tools of data analytics and polling would not be sufficient in a situation where the president himself was trying to disrupt the election. He wrote, "Most of our planning takes us through election day, but we are not prepared for the two most likely outcomes. Trump losing and refusing to concede, and Trump winning the Electoral College despite losing the popular vote, and by corrupting the voting process in key states. We desperately need to systematically red team this election so we can anticipate and plan for the worst we know will be coming our way." So corrupting the voting process seemed to be outside of Trump's power. I mean, Obama said that the elections are so decentralized they couldn't be rigged. So what's the allegation against Trump here?
That he wanted to restrict mail-in voting, but...
Which was already restricted.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. He's not saying don't go to the polls on voting day.
No.
He's saying that mail-in voting is suspicious, because it is, as Amazon concur. And all of the examples that we have in Britain of it being suspicious
concur. Many other nations concur by not doing it.
Yeah. And as the BBC pointed out, in fact, in their 2016 article about how to spot a rigged election.
But that's their opinion, not ours.
That's their opinion, not ours. But again, like, corrupting the voting process, there's no allegation of the method, apart from Trump talking, really. The chief difference between the US and countries that lost their grip on democracy, he concluded, was that America's decentralized election system couldn't be rigged in one fell swoop. That presented an opportunity to shore it up. In his apartment in the DC suburbs, Podhorzer began working from his laptop at his kitchen table, holding back-to-back Zoom meetings for hours a day with a network of contacts across the progressive universe. The labor movement, the institutional left, like Planned Parenthood, Greenpeace, resistance groups like Indivisible and Move On, progressive data geeks and strategists, representatives of donors and foundations, the state-level grassroots organizers, racial justice activists, and others. So they have called it a conspiracy and named the groups involved and named the architect of all of this. And then they're going to tell us exactly how this was executed. In April, Podhorzer began hosting a weekly 2.5-hour Zoom call. It was structured around a series of rapid-fire 5-minute presentations on everything from which ads were working to messaging to legal strategy. The invitation-only gatherings soon attracted hundreds, creating a rare shared base of knowledge for the fractious progressive movement. The meetings became the galactic center for a constellation of operatives across the left who shared overlapping goals but didn't usually work in concert. The group had no name, no leaders, and no hierarchy, but it kept the disparate actors in sync. Pod played a critical behind-the-scenes role, in keeping different pieces of the movement infrastructure in communication and aligned, says Morris Mitchell, national director of the Working Families Party. You have the litigation space, the organizing space, the political people, just focused on the win, presumably, and their strategies aren't always aligned. He allowed this ecosystem to work together. Protecting the election would require an effort of unprecedented scale. As 2020 progressed, it stretched to Congress, Silicon Valley, and the nation's statehouses. It drew energy from Summer's racial justice protests, many of whom were leaders and a key part of the Liberal Alliance. Eventually, it reached across the aisle into the world of Trump-skeptical Republicans appalled by his attacks on democracy. I'm just amazed that they're just going to admit all of this.
Yeah, progressive movements were in a conspiracy with each other.
Yeah.
To protect the democracy. Well,
to prevent Trump from winning.
If Republicans were doing this, you know, shoe on the other foot.
Oh, God.
If a bunch of Republicans got together and decided in group chats to protect the democracy from Joe
Biden. And then reached out across the aisle and got Tulsi Gabbard and, like, what was it, Marianne Williams and other people like that, disaffected Democrats, to join in their conspiracy. Again, they call it a conspiracy. Then, I mean, all hell would be breaking loose. You know, if Fox News was involved, if Parler and Gab were involved, it would be unreal. Again, I mean, the way they describe it as a paranoid fever dream that they're telling us is real, then okay. In the end, nearly half the electorate cast ballots by mail in 2020, practically a revolution in how people voted. About a quarter voted early in person, and only a quarter of voters cast their ballots the traditional way. Yes, very secure, very safe, very democratic, that sounds. Trump's lies and conspiracy theories, the viral force of social media, and involvement of foreign meddlers made disinformation a broader and deeper threat to the 2020 vote. So, Trump talking against them. Laura Quinn, a veteran progressive operative who founded Catalyst, began studying the problem a few years ago, and the situation she concluded was to pressure platforms to enforce their rules by both removing content or accounts that spread disinformation or by aggressively policing it in the first place. So she organized against the public and their free speech. In November 2019, and this is the part where...
This are a group of progressives, so yes. We know they're partisan.
Yes.
They're telling us they're partisan.
Yes. Openly so. But this is the part where it gets really, really interesting. In November 2019, Mark Zuckerberg invited 9 civil rights leaders to dinner at his home, where they warned him about the danger of the election-related falsehoods that were already spreading unchecked. It took pushing, urging, conversations, brainstorming, and all of that to get to a place where we ended up with more rigorous rules and enforcement, says Vanita Gupta, president and CEO of the Leadership Conference on Human and Civil Rights, who attended the dinner and also met with Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey and others. She has also been nominated for the Associate Attorney General by President Biden. So she is now probably going to become a part of the Biden administration. It was a struggle, but we got to the point where they understood the problem. Was it enough? Probably not. Was it later than we wanted? Yes. But it was really important given the level of official disinformation that they had those rules in place and were tagging things and taking them down. I mean, this is unreal. Who could have imagined a conspiracy at this level? Literally coordinating to get social media to be against Trump and his supporters.
I mean, they were literally meeting each other to coordinate that they should take this stuff down. All in agreement that they are all progressives fighting in concert with other progressives.
To protect democracy. So then we get to the section spreading the word. Beyond battling bad information, there was a need to explain a rapidly changing election process. Yeah, it's weird how suddenly you had to completely invert the election process, isn't it? It was crucial for voters to understand that despite what Trump was saying, mail-in votes weren't susceptible to fraud, and it would be normal if some states weren't finished counting on votes on election night, which is the total opposite of reality. It's not normal that you have 3/4 or 2/3 or whatever it is, mail-in votes, and it's not normal for them to not finish counting the votes on election night. The Voting Rights Lab and Into Action created state-specific memes and graphics, spread by email, text, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, urging that every vote be counted, even votes that aren't valid. Together, they were viewed more than 1 billion times. Protect Democracy's Election Task Force issued reports and held media briefings with high-profile experts across the political spectrum, resulting in widespread coverage of potential election issues and fact-checking Trump's false claims. The organization's tracking polls found the message was being heard. The percentage of the public that didn't know that didn't expect to know the winner on election night gradually rose until by late October it was over 70%. So lie enough to the public and they will believe it. That's the propaganda machine at work.
And again, they're telling us this.
Yeah, they're just telling us this. We're not alleging this. This is just quoting from their article. It beggars belief, doesn't it? Again, the scale of this, as they describe it, a paranoid fever dream conspiracy that otherwise would sound ridiculous...
is absolutely true, and here's how we did it.
Yes.
And also,
and here are the people
you know how
involved.
We took you down, you know, all your posts alleging this kind of thing.
Here's how we did
and
that.
And we said they were all, no, but on Twitter and Facebook,
yeah.
We took those posts down. We said you guys were all spreading misinformation. Oh, no, it was all true. And we did it. And here's how we did it.
Yeah.
And we don't care that we're saying it in public.
No. In fact, we want to be recognized for this. That's why they're doing this.
I want a medal.
That's what they're saying. Podhorser, meanwhile, was warning everyone he knew that polls were underestimating Trump's support. See, now that is how they think that Trump is going to steal the election. Having support
By being popular.
By being popular, yeah. Most analysts had recognized there would be a blue shift in key battlegrounds, the surge of votes breaking towards Democrats driven by tallies of mail-in ballots, but they hadn't comprehended how much better Trump was likely to do on election day. Trump isn't rigging the election. Trump is just...
winning.
Winning. The people just wanted Trump, and they knew it. They knew.
They are telling us that they knew.
Yeah, they are telling us that they knew, and they were telling us that that Trump stealing the election is him winning through the being popular.
And they had to defend against this.
Yeah. Remember, as they say, it's not rigging the election, it's fortifying it. Not in the favor of the voter. Being able to document how big the absentee wave... Blah, right, okay. So they knew Trump was going to win in a landslide. Then we get to people power. The racial justice uprising sparked by the George Floyd killings. And this is where the left comes into it, right? This is where we get to the left being class traitors and useful idiots of the big banks, Wall Street, the establishment, all the social media companies. How they don't care about them and they are just being used, right? The recent racial justice uprising sparked by George Floyd killing in May was not primarily a political movement. The organizers who helped lead it wanted to harness its momentum for the election without allowing it to be co-opted by the politicians. See, they're taking advantage of you. They just admit that they are taking advantage of you. Many of those organizers were part of Pod Hawser's network. So they were with him. They were linked to him.
Yep.
They knew him.
They knew they were being used and they're happy to do it.
They were being told what to do by him.
Yeah.
From the activists in battleground states who partnered with the Democracy Defense Coalition, I love all of these Orwellian terms, Ministry of Love, you know, Ministry of Truth, Ministry of, you know...
Defending democracy.
Yeah, yeah, the Democracy Defense Coalition. What did you do? Well, we made sure that the people didn't get the person they voted for.
We found out that Trump was popular, so we tried to stop it.
Yeah. But they took leading roles, right? And so this... I mean, they go on to explain a bit more, but there's no point. You know exactly what's going on.
I just love how the BLM organizers here, they know that they're being used. Political prostitutes.
Yeah.
They're happy to be political prostitutes.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to strange bedfellows. About a week before Election Day, Pod Hawser received an unexpected message. The US Chamber of Commerce wanted to talk. So now you get a government agency trying to get in on this. The AFL-CIO and the Chamber have a long history of antagonism, but behind the scenes, the business community was engaged in its own anxious discussions about how the election and its aftermath might unfold. The summer's racial justice protests had sent a signal to business owners too, the potential for economy-disrupting civil disorder. With tensions running high, there was a lot of concern about unrest around the election or a breakdown in our normal way we handle contentious elections, says Neil Bradley, the Chamber's Executive Vice President and Chief Policy Officer. These worries had led the Chamber to release a pre-election statement with the Business Roundtable, a Washington-based CEO's group, as well as an association of manufacturers, wholesalers, and retailers, calling for patience and confidence as votes were counted. So business gets into bed with union activists in a what they are calling a conspiracy against Trump, because they're worried that if Trump wins, there's going to be a massive amount of civil disorder, presumably from the leftist groups that they've just been directing, because they are aware, I assume, that the way that they have primed left-wing activists to be and the permissiveness that was shown during the George Floyd riots means they're going to lose a lot of money with rampant mobs of Black Lives Matter supporters and Antifa burning down cities. Am I misreading this?
I got nothing. I don't know what to say. The only thing I do have is you accidentally said that it was a US government institution. Chamber of Commerce isn't.
Isn't it?
It's a lobbying group.
Oh,
so
is it?
It represents the biggest industries in the
US.
Oh,
I didn't know that. I thought it was
so that's why
my
this
mistake.
This is big business. Yeah. This is big business siding up with the unions, which they should not be in any, you know, non-clown world.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, just more proof that the leftists are class traitors. Mm. Don't trust them.
The Chamber of Commerce always endorses the Republican candidate.
Right, okay. So, I guess they call themselves the Chamber of Commerce in order to fool rubes like me into thinking that they are a government institution, don't they?
Well, it makes them sound prestigious.
It very much does.
But that's the point. That it's literally the businesses teaming up with the unions, then teaming up with BLM, then teaming up with progressive activists, and then Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey, and all the rest of it, by name, that they're all going to work together to protect the democracy of the United States.
To control
Trump.
The flow of information.
Control the flow
say.
Of information. To change laws in their favor.
Showing up, standing down, the next section. Election night began with many Democrats despairing. Trump was running ahead of pre-election polling, winning Florida, Ohio, and Texas easily, and keeping Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania too close to call. But Pod Hawser was unperturbed when I spoke to him that night. The returns were exactly in line with his modeling. He had been warning for weeks that Trump's voter turnout was surging, Again, people were voting for Trump. They know that people were voting for Trump. But as the numbers dribbled out, he could tell that as long as all the votes were counted, Trump would lose. Right, so all the votes, regardless of whether they're valid votes or not, were counted, Trump would lose. That's very interesting. He knew what the results were going to be. Trump surging is not a coup. It is not stealing the election and is not a failure of democracy.
It is not an attack on democracy.
No, that is what democracy is, when people get what they vote for. We wanted to be mindful of when was the right time to call for moving masses of people into the street. As much as they were eager to mount a show of strength, mobilizing immediately could backfire and put people at risk. Protests that devolved into violent clashes would give Trump a pretext to send in federal agents or troops that he had over the summer. And rather than elevate Trump's complaints by continuing to fight him, the alliance wanted to send a message that the people had spoken, so the word went out. Stand down. Protect the Results announced that it would not be activating the entire national mobilization network today, but remains ready to activate if necessary. So this is like the left-wing version of the Proud Boys, only they actually did
coordinate. Are incongruent with the people in charge.
And big business, and social media, and probably the media themselves.
Hmm.
And they were told, stand down. So the useful idiots of the left were commanded by these people not to go out and protest because they thought that might be to Trump's advantage. Do we need any more proof that these protests have been used cynically by the left?
Just democratic SA.
Yeah.
That's what they are, street thugs.
Yes. And they're in complete control of them, according to their own reporting.
They're telling us this.
Yeah.
The progressives are telling us these guys are controlled thugs that we deploy when we need it.
Yeah.
The social media bias stuff, completely true, and we coordinate with them.
Yeah. I mean, this might, to be honest with you, I know this is going on, but this is just such...
No, this is worth it.
Yeah, I think this is totally worth it. So if we don't get to the other sections, then we're sorry, but this is just stuff you need to hear, I think. Really need to hear from the horse's mouth. Podhorser credits the activists for their restraint. They had spent so much time getting ready to hit the streets on Wednesday, but they did it. Wednesday through Friday, there was not a single Antifa versus Proud Boys incident like everyone was expecting. And when that didn't materialize, I don't think the Trump campaign had a backup plan. They literally controlled it all. Why would the Trump campaign need a backup plan for no violence? That was what they wanted. Well, the Trump campaign didn't want violence. It never is to their benefit. Anyway, five steps to victory. In Podhorser's presentations, winning the vote was only the first step to winning the election. After that came winning the count, winning the certification, winning the Electoral College, and winning the transition steps that are normally formalities, but that he knew Trump would see as opportunities for disruption. Nowhere would that be more evident than in Michigan, where Trump's pressure on local Republicans came perilously close to working, and where liberal and conservative pro-democracy forces joined to counter it. Around 10 p.m. on election night in Detroit, when a flurry of texts lit up the phone of Art Reyes III, a busload of Republican election observers had arrived at the TCF Center, where the votes were being tallied. They were crowding the vote-counting tables, refusing to wear masks, and heckling the mostly black workers. Right, so the Republican election observers were bad people, is what we're being told now.
Because they wanted to observe the elections.
Because they want to observe the elections. Reyes, a Flint native who leads the We Are the People Michigan, was expecting this. For months, conservative groups have been sowing suspicion about urban vote fraud. Well, I mean, I wonder why. I wonder why. The language was, they're going to steal the election, there will be fraud in Detroit long before any vote was cast. Well, I wonder why that was. And then time give us a picture of the vote count being taking place in Detroit, where, as you can see, the Republican poll watchers are being prevented from entering the building, and they boarded up the windows so they couldn't see in. And Time magazine frames this as Trump supporters seek to disrupt the vote count at the TFC Center.
Disrupt the vote count.
It's incredible. It is incredible. Just the lies and the brazenness of what is going on here. Like, sorry, here's the conspiracy on how we fortified the election. Look at these evil Trump supporters who have come to do their constitutional duty and show that the vote count is bipartisan.
Well, they're disrupting the outcome.
The fortification, yeah. I suppose so. It's unreal. I can't get over that Time magazine printed this. They are so powerful. They are so well connected. They are afraid of nothing. How close we came, the next section. There was one last milestone on Podhorse's mind. January the 6th. On the day Congress would meet to tally the electoral count, Trump summoned his supporters to DC for a rally. Much to their surprise, the thousands who answered this call were met by virtually no counter demonstrators. Why do you think that is? To preserve the safety and ensure they wouldn't be blamed for any mayhem, the activist left was, quote, strenuously discouraged from counteractivity. Podhorse texted me with a fingers crossed emoji. So, more proof that the leftists are just the useful tools of the elite.
They're organized.
They're organized.
They're an SA.
They are commanded by this conspiracy. Trump addressed the crowd that afternoon, peddling the lie that lawmakers or Vice President Mike Pence could reject the state's electoral votes. He told them to go to the Capitol and fight like hell. Well, he also told them to be peaceful, and fight like hell is just Democratic rhetoric for campaign. He then returned to the White House as they sacked the building. They did not sack the Capitol. That is not a fair representation of what happened. As lawmakers fled for their lives and his own supporters were shot and trampled, again, it just makes it sound like a massacre occurred. Trump praised the rioters as very special. This is the framing here is disgusting.
Just an open lie. Like, just there's, yeah. There's mine quote, he said they were very special. Yeah. Even though in that part he's telling them, go home, don't do violence, blah, blah, blah. And sacking it. I mean, I don't see any BLM fires on that building.
No.
That's what sacking would be.
Yeah. Stealing stuff is sacking. Stealing it. And then burning the place down.
Steal everything rich. Destroy what's left. Set fire to the remains.
Yeah. Sacking is not a fair description. It was his final attack on democracy, and once again it failed. By standing down, the democracy campaigners outfoxed their foes. We won by the skin of our teeth, honestly, and that's an important point for folks to sit with, says the Democracy Defense Coalition Peoples. There is an impulse for some to say that voters decided in democracy won, but it's a mistake to think that this election cycle is a show of strength for democracy. It shows how vulnerable democracy is. I guess it does.
It's a mistake to say the voters decided and democracy won.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a mistake.
That's Time Magazine.
Time Magazine. Quote from the Democracy Defense Coalition.
Self-described progressives who were organizing everything in a certain way.
With big business, the media, the social media,
unions, the BLM movement,
the activists, they
were all in concert with each other. Yeah. They're telling you that.
It's not that the voters decided and democracy won. Members of the alliance to protect the election have gone their separate ways. Democracy Defense Coalition has been disbanded, though the fight back table lives on. Protect Democracy and the Good Government Advocates have turned their attention to pressing reforms in Congress. Left-wing activists are pressuring the newly empowered Democrats to remember the voters who put them there, while civil rights groups are on guard against further attacks on voting. Business leaders announced the January 6th attack, and some say they will no longer donate to lawmakers who refuse to certify Biden's victory. Podhorse and his allies are still holding their Zoom strategy sessions, gauging voters' views and developing new messages. And Trump is in Florida, facing his second impeachment, deprived of the Twitter and Facebook accounts he used to push the nation to its breaking point. You mean...
You did this.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Him. He literally told them no violence.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
And he literally just said, vote for me. We're going to make America great again.
Whereas you guys were actively coordinating violent groups.
In what you describe as a conspiracy.
Being unconstitutional, changing laws that are unconstitutional, and manipulating the media en masse. And then flagging everyone whoever showed it was nonsense on social media.
Mass deplatformings and coordinating Black Lives Matter and Antifa as the street thugs that we know them to be. As I was reporting this article in November and December, I heard different claims about who should get the credit for thwarting Trump's plot. What plot? His plot for people to vote for him en masse, a surge, is Trump's plot. Trump's plot was to take part in a fair election, as far as they seem to be describing it. I can't get over it. I just can't get over it. And the people who admit to conducting a conspiracy accused Trump of being part of a plot. Liberals argued of the role of bottom-up people power shouldn't be overlooked, particularly the contributions of people of colour and local grassroots activists. I'm sure they did. Others stress the heroism of GOP officials like Van Langveld and Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. It's interesting, isn't it? Isn't it, Raffensperger? Very interesting. The truth is that neither likely could have succeeded without the other. It's astounding how close we came, how fragile all this really is, says Timmer, a former GOP chair, Michigan. It's like when Wile E. Coyote runs off a cliff. If you don't look down, you don't fall. Our democracy only survives if we all believe and don't look down. That's because it's not based on reality. That's because it's not based on the facts. They want to continue maintaining a fiction. And they want everyone to believe in the fiction. And if everyone believes in the fiction, then everything carries on as normal. That's what they're saying.
I'm speechless. I honestly.
Yeah. I just don't know what else to say. It's like, okay, well, I mean, if they're just going to come out and say it, then I guess we don't need to bother proving it. Like, we take them at their word.
It's always nice to get an admission.
Yeah, but this is the shocking thing about this. Just the brazenness with which they do this. They name all of the people involved. They're proud of what they've done. They're proud of stopping Trump from winning legitimately. We'll skip my second segment because that went on a lot longer than I expected, and we'll go on to Labour and talking about the grooming gangs.
Yeah, I guess so. Something more cheery.
Yeah, something a little more.
Grooming gangs.
Yeah. Because,
Oh, I don't know what to say about that. That's yeah, I know. Unbelievable.
I'm really pissed off.
Have you archived that?
Oh, yeah. It's
archived.
And I've got all of the text, you know, separate from the so even if the archives get scrubbed, I've got all of the text and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, and everyone else should do the same. And again, send it to everyone you know. Every Republican, every conservative, every neutral person, every liberal who's like, well, I just think it was a free and fair election. Send them this. Send them them admitting that this is a conspiracy. Don't like allow this to be like, you know, Republican echo chamber knowledge. Like, make sure that it's everywhere. Make sure that everyone knows. Tell your friends and family. Show them the article. Make them sit down and read it. Make them read it. Quote bits to them. I mean, like they say, it sounds like a paranoid fever dream. It's going to be difficult to accept, but they're just saying it.
I don't know what it is with 2021. Like, you keep saying this, but things that would take years to prove investigative journalism, things that people have been alleging for ages through the leaks through Project Veritas, yeah, and whatnot, that all these guys work in concert, they're all trying to push progressive policies and candidates, they're just telling us yes. Yes. Everything you've accused us of is true.
So I don't think anything's going to happen.
They know nothing's going to happen.
Hmm.
I don't know if we can say anything else.
No.
What I want to say is probably...
I think just quoting their words verbatim is more than enough.
Yeah, let's go on to something more cheery, I guess. So, there was a debate in Parliament about the grooming gang petition, which was started a long time ago by Johnny over there.
Yep, our own Jonathan Wong.
Yeah, and John went on Hearts of Oak yesterday with Peter McIlvenna to talk about this. Yep. Big plug to Hearts of Oak.
Yep.
I wasn't good keeping lads. my ear to the ground on this, so I managed to get the clips. Go and support them. That's John there, in case you don't know what he looks like.
Yep.
The one on the left. Anyway, so we'll just show the petition so people know, which is the next link.
Yep.
So this is just the petition saying release the grooming gang report, yep, in full. There was released.
It got the 100,000 signatures really quickly as well.
Yeah, good job everyone who signed it.
Yeah, which is what you need to get the parliament to debate it.
So some of it was released. It didn't seem to be the full
thing. What was the date that it was created, sorry? The petition.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Can we scroll down a little bit, John? Because there's presumably... Right, so it's been over a year, or almost a year, for the debate to happen.
Yeah.
But okay, so it took about a year, right, fine.
You know,
yeah,
just whatever, as fast as you'd,
yeah,
expect.
Yeah.
So, and then we have a link to the debate, which is just the parliamentary website.
It's just children being raped.
Yeah, it's not that important.
It's not, you know, not something you should fast track or anything.
And if you want to watch the full thing, it's there, but we just clipped it down because no one's got that time.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, fair enough. So the response from this, I expected to be conservatives yet again saying that this is just far-right nonsense, we're not going to go into it. Labour saying it's far-right nonsense, we're not going to go into it. And then everyone just moves on. And surprisingly no. There was actually some good news out of this, which is the conservatives are willing to accept what is reality and has been proven to be reality.
Oh, wow.
For
Thank
years.
God.
unfortunately, Labour hasn't.
Of course.
But no change then. So the first video here, it's a bit long, but it's worth
all right.
It.
Let's hear it.
So let's play it.
Many of them do feel that the report doesn't go far enough. They believe it only touches upon the issues. And if it is a start of something far more significant, then okay. But if it's the end of it, then they feel very unsatisfied. I would support them in saying that I do believe further action should be taken. One of the key problems here has been the lack of data relating to the, which has made it difficult to really go into detail regarding the characteristics of the grooming gangs and those involved. And I think that has been problematic. I mean, some honourable members have raised the point that if the data is not available, then surely you can just look at those who have been convicted and you can gain a pretty accurate picture there. I think there is a wider point here, though, about this issue and about whether it was political correctness, for want of a better word, or something else, or concern about cultural sensitivities, and the fact that it does seem, in many cases, that the majority of those who have engaged in this evil act did seem to come from one particular community, and they feel, and I agree with them, that if it is the case that certain crimes are disproportionately committed by members from certain communities, then we should be open and honest about that and address it. Because actually, by sweeping it under the carpet and not addressing it, it actually makes tensions and divisions worse down the line. We look at the role of racism and how many of the victims of this appalling crime feel as though it is the concern from certain individuals that they would be branded a racist or called out for being a racist if they spoke the truths that they know them to be on some of these matters. But actually, a lot of these victims, who more often than not are white working class girls, our girls, their view is that they were on occasion specifically targeted because of the fact that they were white, because of their Westernness, and because of the fact that they weren't Asian. And that is how they feel. So if you disagree with how they feel, then I would encourage you to have a discussion with them, because that is how they feel. And therefore, the information and the data about the ethnic background of those who have been found guilty of these crimes is necessary if we are to gain a profound understanding of this appalling crime, learn the lessons, and ensure that it never happens again. And if we do believe that this kind of racism towards white girls is a driver here, if we do believe that is the case and it's an aggravating factor, then we need to address it, and we need a report that addresses it and gets under the skin of the issue in a way that it hasn't so far.
Good speech.
Really good. Who was that?
I don't know his name. I'll get it afterwards.
Right. Okay.
But there's a whole bunch of these guys.
I wish we could give him a salute, basically, because...
Yeah, good speech.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
And the way he addressed the allegations of racism, basically, it's like, you know, these girls feel like it's racial profiling, racial targeting. And if you don't agree, go and talk to these girls and they will explain why they feel this way.
He's calling out the absurdity of the last few decades, which is that if you ever talked about this subject, you must be the racist here.
Yeah.
When the real racism story about this whole thing
is the other way around.
Yeah. The groomers targeting victims because of their race in many cases. And if you, as he says, if you disagree with that, he's talking to the Labour benches, go and meet with the victims who are saying that. Mm-hmm. You know, go and tell them they're wrong.
Go on, Naz Shah.
Yeah, tell them
they're not going to shut up for the sake of diversity, Naz.
Yeah.
Go and have a chat with them, Naz.
We're going to try and go through these a little faster because there are a few. Yeah. So this next one is an ex-children's minister. So he's been dealing with this problem in his time as well. And he is also solid on this, saying that the police were ignoring the Pakistanis. Yeah. And that is disgraceful and needs to be dealt with.
And before we start, we've got loads of stories about this. I mean, like, we've covered them lots and lots of times. And it's really embarrassing. It's genuinely embarrassing why the police will treat the men involved in this as if they are not capable of committing a crime. It's just horrible.
Yeah. Johnny just gave me the name of the previous speaker. His name's Tom Hunt.
Good man, Tom Hunt.
So this is the next guy talking about it.
The CSE can happen anywhere to anyone. Not something exclusive to northern metropolitan boroughs or people from estates on the other side of town, or just by to troubled girls, as some honourable members have mentioned. I met survivors of CSE from the families of doctors and lawyers and middle-class backgrounds and heard their deeply harrowing accounts. Now, I mentioned the CEOPS report, Out of Mind, Out of Sight, because this and all these reports had uncovered a systemic and systematic culture of neglect, secrecy, and in too many cases, willful complacency to call out the issue of teenage white girls, in some cases boys, being sexually abused by British Pakistani grooming gangs. It was a taboo subject. It was swept under the carpet. The victims often regarded having asked for it disgracefully, and the insidious tentacles of political correctness often suffocating action.
Yep, totally. Excellent. Right. And just before we head on, the reason we're focusing on this point is because there's a million other things I know people could argue about procedure and how to deal with CSE. We are dealing with this, the specific point here of the fact that the neo-socialist types with their cult of diversity were actively, you know, this is the worst thing they've done.
Shut up for the sake of diversity.
Yeah, this is their worst action, which is causing thousands of girls to be raped on the basis that we better not say anything because it might be racist. And the next one is the guy making this point.
Over 2 decades, in Rotherham alone, 1,500 children, some as young as 11, were raped. Let that sink in. 1,500 children in one town were raped. So why was there a cover-up? Because it was a cover-up. The J report stated the agencies turned a blind eye to the localised grooming of young white girls by hundreds and hundreds of men of Pakistani heritage. And a 5-year investigation by the Independent Office for Police Conduct found that the Rotherham police ignored the sexual abuse of children for decades for fear of, and I quote, increasing racial tensions. Whistleblowers were given the cold shoulder, and council employees lived in fear of being called racist for intervening.
For stopping paedophiles. So the next one here is another Conservative MP, and I'm proud of them. Like, they're actually coming out saying these things.
Good for
them. He's just saying facts actually matter, and this report, it can go to hell, because it's not going into the issue that it was asked to go into.
Facts are often inconvenient. They're sometimes disturbing and they're occasionally alarming. And the facts are that in Oxford, 373 children, including 50 boys, may have been targeted over a 16-year period according to a serious case review. In Rotherham, as we've heard, 1,500 children, most of them white girls from the age of 11 to 15, were sexually abused predominantly by British Pakistani men. And in Rochdale, 9 men who abused girls as young as 13 were convicted over a child sex grooming ring. And we know again that the Pakistani community was disproportionately represented amongst those convicted. Those are the facts. But the fiction, and it's well illustrated by the Home Office report that was published last December, which is a study in obfuscation, by the way, the fiction is that we can't draw conclusions about whether or not certain ethnicities are overrepresented in this type of offending. We must not allow concerns about causing offence leave children vulnerable to sexual exploitation.
I just want to labour this point. This is because of woke culture. If someone has to say to you, why is woke culture bad? This is why. Gets children raped in the UK. Now what? Next question. What these people are disgusting is why I hate the woke people anyway. Yeah. So it wasn't all sunshines from the Conservatives. There was one guy who I found a little bit laborious in his ending, but he did generally agree with it. I'm just going to play this one. So he's in Anne Cryer's seat. A lot of people know Anne Cryer because she was a whistleblower 20 odd years ago. Mm-hmm. Apparently nothing's changed in 20 years. It's still going on. And the Home Office not dealing with it is their shame.
It is now more than 20 years since one of my predecessors, as the MP for Keighley, Anne Cryer, first raised her concerns about grooming gangs and child sexual exploitation within the Pakistani community within West Yorkshire. Anne did a good job and brought the issue to the forefront of conversation and did the right thing in raising it. More than 20 years have gone by and nothing really has changed. Unless we talk about this openly, we are failing. So let's call this problem out for what it is. Predominantly a small minority of largely Muslim men within West Yorkshire, including, I am sad to say, in Keighley, that have been sexually exploiting young children for far too long. And the Muslim community are quite rightly outraged at the entire community being branded with the same accusation. And it is not fair, and it is deeply offensive.
So, well, if it's deeply offensive, then we'll better shut up about it.
Yeah, we'll just let the girls be raped, I guess.
But yeah.
I'm annoyed by that. He is correct in saying that the entire community shouldn't be tarred with you or paedophiles and so on and so forth.
Of course.
I agree.
But
there is
why
a
aren't they
problem.
Self-policing?
There is a unique
why,
problem.
I mean, there was in the 2013 Baron Worsley report about how actually these grooming gangs also target Muslim girls because they believe that Muslim girls are, quote, coconuts, who are brown on the outside and white on the inside, which means westernized. Why they would engage in the rapes. And there was the one bit that really, I just can't shake it out of my head, where one girl was taken up to a room and raped by some guy, and then the guy just called up a bunch of his family and friends and said, hey, would you want to come over and have a go on this girl? And a bunch of them, dozens of them, came over and raped this girl. And I'm just thinking...
There was one boy in his school uniform.
I'm just thinking there is not one person on earth I could call who would come over and do that. If I called you up, hey, Callum, I've got a girl, do you want to come over and have a go? You'd be like, what? You know, if I called anyone, you'd be like, what? And any of my friends would be like, I'm going to the police, mate. I don't know what the hell you're doing. Don't call me again. The cops are going to be around in a minute. You know, what the hell are you doing? But no, instead, dozens of these men come around. Oh, but where is the community? Where is its internal policing? Why was that something that was just normal?
It's fucking gross. Anyway, the next person to speak, so then I want to go through the Labour responses, which are starting with Sarah Champion. Sarah Champion's one of the better ones.
Yeah.
She was the one who mentioned that this problem was going on and lost
her
job.
She's the one who speculated that a million English girls have been raped.
She was the women's minister for Labour, and for saying that there was a problem with the grooming of children, which we now know about 1,500 in her town were being exploited. She lost her job. Labour kicked her out for saying that, and then put Naz Shah in charge of her job.
Naz Shah, who retweeted, "Girls should shut up for the sake of diversity."
That's who they put in charge of women of women's issues.
And she mistook an Owen Jones parody account for Owen Jones saying this, that these girls should shut up for the sake of diversity, and she's like, retweet. It's like, idiot.
But the point she makes here is it's still ongoing, and also that she isn't taking S from anyone.
I've been vilified, I've been smeared, I've been threatened, and that's by the far right and the far left, who use this crime for their own political agenda. The only impact it's had on me is I get a taste of the intimidation that survivors have to endure. I want to turn to Rotherham. We're very fortunate because we have the National Crime Agency carrying out Operation Stovewood. It's looking at cases of CSE by grooming gangs between 97 and 2013, so just a 16-year period. But already they've identified 1,569 survivors. 261 designated suspects. And to date, we have had 20 convictions at court and 4 await trial. This is in 16 years. I know survivors who are 70 years old. Think about the scale and the length of time of this abuse.
So if you can get the links up, this is just a talk about Operation Stove, which she's talking about. So 1,569 victims confirmed. 261 suspects and at least 20 convictions already. This was in October of last year. Still more arrests, 15 arrests there. The next link is just December, more arrests taking place. This never stopped. This never went away. Rotherham wasn't a one-time thing. It just keeps going and keeps going.
I mean, we have here only ever sung Sarah Champion's praises for this. So she's obviously not referring to us vilifying her.
When they say this on far right,
I don't know who they're talking about there, but
this is the problem with the Labour Party. The only most charitable interpretation is what one of the guys gives, which is like the EDL or Britain First. But I don't really know much about these groups anyway, so I don't really want to comment. Sorry. But the next one is the typical Labour response, and it gets worse and worse. So the first one here is saying that the far right are going to explore this if we ever talk about it. And also CSE is committed by everyone, so this isn't really an issue. So,
in a recent Home Office report, about 10,500 cases were flagged as potentially CSE related. The victims of CSE were said to be mainly young women, predominantly 14 to 15 years old, who had a number of risk factors that made them vulnerable for exploitation. However, I will not let those far-right groups, wherever they may skulk, get away with lying and sow hate, division and blame on this issue. I repeat, child abuse occurs in every community, in every part of the country, in every part of the world, and I'm committed to root it out wherever it may be.
Pathetic.
Do these far-right groups just exist in her head or something? She can't seem to identify who they are or where they are, but they exist somewhere out in the ether, and she's committed to opposing these phantoms.
But also the universalizing there. I'm against all paedophilia. Yeah, but are you aware of the specific problem here? But I'm against all paedophilia.
Okay, but this one, condemn this one.
Like Jeremy Corbyn, are you against IRA bombing? I'm against all bombing. You can tell it's disingenuous.
Yeah.
And it continues. The next one is just another Labour MP basically saying that this is all a myth. This isn't really happening.
Particularly concerned about the increased risk of online harms related to child sexual exploitation during lockdowns where children are spending more time online, away from school, and where far-right myths about the ethnicities of offenders in group-based child sexual exploitation are being exploited online in order to fuel divisions between different communities.
Unbelievable. I mean, what are all the convictions about if it's just a myth? Why is it when we look at the faces of the people convicted, they're like 90% from one community? Why is that the case?
Not to mention the Conservatives have never wanted to talk about this.
No.
I can see why, because of the political
cost. Oh, it's difficult, yeah. But I mean, another thing about this...
We're at the point where even mainstream Conservatives are like, yeah, no, there's a problem here, and if we ignore it, we are screwed.
Yeah.
And you're still like, it's not happening. It's a myth.
Talking about this will create division between communities. You don't think the acts themselves are creating divisions?
Do you not think mass rape of certain ethnic groups by other ethnic groups creates division?
Unreal.
I guess not. That's not important. Anyway, and then the last one here is a guy saying that, you know, again, it's universalizing, it comes from everyone. Everyone engages in this.
Stunning.
And also, I guess if we had to pick a problem, I guess it's the patriarchy that's at fault for this.
Go on then.
So, play this.
Offenders can come from a range of social backgrounds, some of whom have been stable middle-class professionals, some of whom were married, whilst others have had more chaotic lifestyles. The one thing that would hamper efforts to tackle group-based child sexual exploitation is to falsely claim the criminals belong to only one religion, one ethnicity, or one race. We know this is fake news. Yep. And official independent statistics attest to that fact. And these falsehoods are exploited by the far right to create racist divisions within our society, perpetuating myths and stereotypes. People like the English Defence League and Britain First using the images of survivors against their wishes, organising marches, stirring up hate online. It's not about conforming, Madam Deputy Speaker, to political correctness. But if we adopt the language or assumptions of hate groups, we fall into a very dangerous trap. The devastating reality is that sexual abuse can happen within any community.
Can.
Be it white British, Sikh, Hindu, Muslim, or other backgrounds. Let us be clear, this is about patriarchy and power. Discounted, dismissed, and dehumanized, not only by those who rape them, but also by the authorities they turn to for help.
Hang on. This is really important, right? This can be the case. This can happen. Potential. Mm-hmm. He's speaking about something that hasn't happened, but strictly speaking, I mean, it could be. It can happen that a massive asteroid comes down right now and boom, end of the podcast, right? That can happen. But what did happen? That's the question that we're asking. Not what can happen, what did happen. And the convictions imply that something specific did happen. You goddamn disingenuous Labour scum. Can't read that out, I'm afraid, John.
John's written us a message
about that. But this is
the state of the Labour Party. When you see the disingenuousness there, that, oh, well, people are claiming that it all comes from one... No one is claiming that it all comes from one place. Nope. You heard the Conservatives in front of you for the last 30 minutes saying disproportionate.
Don't know what you're talking about. What did Britain First... Where are they? Like, the EDL don't even exist anymore. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
How many members have they got?
Well, no, they don't exist. I mean, Tommy's...
No, Tommy left them, but like they're still running. But how many people?
Well,
people
where? In the what do they do? Where are the protests? What are they doing?
Like, this mass movement that's rising in the polls.
Yeah.
Totally threatening.
Like, the far right are a phantom in this country.
But the far left, that's you guys. That's you guys right there who sing the Internationale in our parliament.
Yep.
And then come up with like issues of paedophiles and are like, yeah, it's not really happening if it's the foreigners. That doesn't happen. It's like scumbags. Yeah. I hate the Labour Party. Absolute scum.
Good point, John. Anyway,
let's end it there. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, we'll get through.
We had great news yesterday, bad news today.
Yeah, we got half an hour, so we'll get through. I imagine that many people are going to have been sending in comments about this, so we'll get through as many as we can. We got loads.
Should we do the expensive YouTube ones and then come back to these?
Yeah, let's do the any. Can you see on your?
I can see on mine. Okay, yeah we're going to do the high ones because you guys paid a ridiculous amount. So Gareth Green.
Yeah.
To clarify from my super chat yesterday, I don't think I could be called an English nationalist as I am an American born in California. Fair enough. Though conceived in India. Child of the empire then. I'm not really anti-imperialist, just anti-unity. I would be all for a federal kingdom of Britain. So, federal system?
I don't know if you can have a federal kingdom. I just want to return to Kingdom of England.
Was the HRE not technically federal kingdom?
Well, it's not an empire.
Well, neither was the HRE, so...
Well, that's what I'm talking about. The Holy Roman Empire wasn't holy or Roman or an empire, as Voltaire famously said.
Yeah.
But there were a bunch of really high ones there, so do you want to...
I can't see any more on here.
John, do you want to get the... I saw a bunch for, like, scroll, sorry. You know, $99 and stuff.
That's rubles.
That's rubles.
But
hello. Yeah, but there were other ones that were really... Like, if you go back up a bit... So, sorry, guys. They're a lot more than we expected, really.
Yeah, we don't know what we're meant to do with this in future as well.
Yeah.
Because it's a good problem to have, I know. But
yeah, I know. We shouldn't complain about this. But the thing is about, like, how we can balance these things. I guess just want to read a couple out while we're looking.
Yeah, sure.
All right, okay. In fact, I've got one from Gareth Green for $99.99. We just read that one. Right, okay. Okay, right. Okay.
So let's go to the website. And then you
right,
can
yeah. So, okay. I'm a fellow commentator from across the pond who apparently got picked at a very bad time to get started in 2018, says Colin Dillard, with the prevalence of shutting down conservative voices within the digital public square. I believe it's important that we support one another. For this reason, I've subscribed to your premium membership and to offer my small part of support and ask for a shout out in return for some reciprocal support. I share many of the same viewpoints as you guys, with a few points of contention, but regardless of our differences, on the things that are of importance today, I stand with you. So that's someone called Colin Dillard. I assume that you can just Google that and find his podcast because he didn't leave us a link or anything. Nicholas Malson says, hello, gents. Hope you're doing well. What are your thoughts on Jeff Bezos stepping down as the Amazon CEO later this year? How much will this affect the business itself in your opinion? As always, keep up the good work. May your hard work prosper for many years to come. I honestly have no idea. What do you think?
He's becoming deputy chairman or whatever anyway, so he'll still be around.
Yeah.
I saw that Amazon took a little bit of a dip there in their stock price, but it seems to have already recovered. So I don't know.
Yeah.
The market seems to think he won't change.
I don't think anything's going to change particularly. Ryan Betson, logic of the Times article, the mask can't slip if we just yank it off. Your move, Republicans. That's really
2021.
Bravo. That's a brilliant way of summarizing it. Yeah. The mask can't slip if we just yank it up. Your move. Yank it off. Maxwell Silverhammer says, hear my battle cry for the great igloo warg. Blessed be the wicked who defends the weak. P.S. Use my subscription money for Latin lessons. I promise nothing.
Duolingo's free.
Look, don't tell them that. Are the recent changes in election law by executive order designed to fortify future elections or further elections, further designs to fix outcomes? Yeah, exactly.
Could you imagine Nicolas Maduro saying that we're going to fortify the elections?
I mean, you just wouldn't believe it, would you? Ridiculous. You should shout out Don the Pleb over at Plebeian Media. YouTube demonetized him for his lack of doublethink. Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, shout out, but like, they're demonetizing everyone. Everyone's getting demonetized.
But Don the Pleb is a good boy.
Yeah. Edward of Woodstock, they've got the presidency. Now it's safe to brag. They're going to triumph. Their subversion, like they were Augustus after Actium. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. They're behaving like they won a civil war. Admittedly, January the 6th had done nothing to help this. This even rings of prescription, our new triumvirate. Big tech, the Democrats, and riotous Marxist street gangs masquerading as protesters. It's a good way of framing it. I can't imagine what the Trump loyalists are going through, feeling as if they've just watched their democracy fall into ruin and learning that they have to tread carefully lest they are labelled as terrorists by the country they love. Yeah. MEP Fly... nothing to add there. MEP Flyerboy, relating to what was said in the Times article on the organized attack on Trump, why does it sound like a cabal of pointless quango organizations simply fighting to stay relevant and profitable by getting rid of the person looking to get rid of them? That's how they see it, pretty much. Harry Geman, they admit that they manipulated information and news coverage to make people come to a predetermined conclusion around the election, and they think they're the good guys. Am I reading this right? I know we knew all along it was happening, but an admission like this is quite shocking. Yeah, I mean... That's why, today's podcast was just mostly me reading their article because it's
unbelievable.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I'm waiting for like a bunch of the Times, Time magazine to come out and go, yeah, well, actually, that was a parody.
So like
and you fell for it. Yeah,
the referendum or election of Putin in Russia. Could you imagine if he came out with a Times article, a Pravda article, literally saying like, oh, this is how we coordinated to burn all the ballots or something.
Yeah. Ugh. Me and the boys were trying to update our stance on immigration. Can you find anything racist about this statement? We support unnaturalized migrants to become citizens once proven to be loyal to land and constitution.
Well, I agree with that last statement.
Yeah, least. I don't see anything...
Yeah, Gurkhas are British, fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah. Nicholas Fincham says, in the 1976 film Network, a group of radical black communist separatists begin working with the mainstream media to benefit a global corporate oligarchy. That's true! And if you have you seen the film Network?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's very good. The host becomes a kind of prophetic doommonger.
Oh, is this the one with the glasses?
No, this is the one where he's like, you've got to get mad. You know, and you get people screaming out the windows. Okay. You know, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take
it
anymore.
I've seen the memes, right? I've never watched it, but I'll watch it tonight.
Oh, you definitely should, right? Because what they do is the prophetic doommonger, he's a news anchor, and what they do is just essentially turn him into a kind of cult superstar who tells everyone that doom is coming, but he becomes like the outlet, the catharsis for these people, so nothing changes. And then at the end, the businessman is just lecturing him, saying, look, the countries are over. The world is a business. Get used to it. It's like, right, okay. This is quite a long comment from David White. So we probably won't read it all, but just thank you for the input and thank you for the compliments about what we're doing. But he says, how do I explain the partisanship of the BBC and the media to my family? Go down a little bit, John. And the whole left-wing narrative that we hear is quite frankly aiming to take our freedoms away. Dropping some bombs on today's podcast, aren't we? Sorry for the long comment. Yeah, we are. Honestly, I don't know. I honestly don't know how you can succinctly explain the partisan nature of what's happening, because the scale of what's happening is, like they say, a fever dream.
Well, there's a good one that Mark explained to me, which is that to point out starters that the BBC is a liar, ask them about those vans that detect whether or not you've got a TV license. The BBC told you they were real. They're not real. Okay, so the BBC lies to you.
Are they not real?
They don't exist. There's no way of doing it.
I assume they were real.
Yeah.
So I didn't know.
If the BBC is willing to lie to you about that, what are they not willing to lie to you about? And then just, you know, keep going, step by step.
The scales are falling from my eyes today, I tell you.
Yeah, they don't exist.
Okay,
How am I going to detect if you own a TV? Like, that doesn't even make any sense.
I assume they had some sort of technological gizmo. I can't believe that's not real.
It's not real.
God, we were brainwashed growing up in my generation.
Yeah, and if they were willing to lie to your family about that, what were they not willing to lie to them about?
That's amazing. Edward Woods, for anyone who's wondering where we're getting these comments, you can sign up to litsis.com. The only subscribers can comment on the website. And by the way, thank you everyone for 4,000 subscribers. We passed 4,000 subscribers, not yesterday, but the day before. I think I forgot to say thanks everyone. It means that we can continue on. And we are expanding. So if we'll be taking new writers. And I'm looking for someone to produce videos for the second channel, which has kind of fallen out of production at the moment because we just don't have the time, because we're working on the podcast all the time and doing premium content. So if you feel that you would be good at making videos for Lotus Eaters, you can email us at contact@lotuseaters.com. Show us some of your work, of course, and your CV, and we will get back to you probably.
I love the chat. It's just like, I can't believe you believe the vans were real.
What?
Technological boomer. Anyway.
Dude, it was like in the 80s and 90s, right? You didn't have the internet to check these things. Yes, we didn't have the internet.
Yeah, but I mean, it's 2021 and you still believed it.
Well, it's not like I'd looked into it, you know? Hey, look, no, I know Santa Claus is real because I enforce him, okay? My children are under the regime of Santa Claus being real. Anyway, Adam W., you know you have little recourse when the conspirators gloat about how they pulled it off. At this point in the movie, the protagonist comes up with an ingenious way to overcome the cabal. Well, I mean, Donald Trump, we're waiting for your Napoleon moment. Adam W.
Donald Trump needs to read that article.
Yes, he does. This is what I'm saying. Everyone listening to this
get
needs
it in
to
front of his face.
Tweet it at everyone. Get it in front of them. Email it to your congressman. Email it to your senators. Email it to your representatives and say, listen, they admit that there was a conspiracy here. Edward of Woodstock. This sounds like Darth Sidious publishing a pamphlet called How I Did It.
Yeah,
it is.
The clone troopers. Yeah, that was all me.
Yeah. Pro-democracy clone troopers ensured there was no violence from the Jedi by gunning them down in the temple and on the battlefield. Yeah, exactly. Adam W. would love to read the emails of the ringleader of the cabal. One would likely find conspicuous communiques and self-righteous fart sniffing. Dallas, I wish
they're referencing the Lincoln Project there, and I'm not going to make any specific accusations, but you can Google what's been going on with the Lincoln Project.
Well, the allegations made against what's the name of the guy who's leading the Lincoln Project?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
He apparently was emailing boys trying to get them involved in sexual activity, which would be illegal.
21 different boys.
That's the accusation.
Yeah, the accusation, yeah. Interesting. Why did she look like Cruella de Vil instead of puppies as children these days? Welcome to modern era. I think they're talking about Sarah Champion. Sarah Champion's a good girl, did nothing wrong here.
Yeah.
So the white streak in her hair, I assume, is due to like stress or something. Because I imagine. No, God,
yeah, I bet.
I mean this. You know, someone who's gone white from stress. I'm telling you, man, it's a real phenomenon. Michael Ebel says, I always hear you guys saying not to watch from YouTube. To be fair, I'm technologically illiterate, but I'm not seeing any way Super Chat will be part of the conversation in real time on the Lotus Eats website. Yeah, you are. You're doing it right now.
What are you doing?
I exclusively watch from the website, but it kind of feels like an inferior way. No. We're privileging the website now over the Super Chats, I'm afraid. More reason we think to sign up. Douglas Murray is going to be eating some serious crow after that Time magazine article. Tweet it at him. Tweet it at everyone. Tweet it at all of them. You know, everyone has to see it.
In Douglas's defense, he had, you know, they hadn't openly admitted that they did this yet.
In his defense,
I'd like to see his response.
Yep. I love the guy, but his take on the elections and what Trump supporters believe has really been off. Yeah, well, it's part of the living in the mainstream, I think. Link is facebook.com/BC philosopher, says Colin Dillard. Right, okay. Forgot the most important part. Yeah, so com/BC philosopher. My sister put a Soviet flag out of her window. I ordered a MAGA flag to put in the hall outside of her bedroom door. Her move. Keep up in the ante, Joshua.
That's a dangerous game. Yeah. I played that game.
Heathcliff Flatton, when Facebook say they will depoliticize, remember that leftist causes aren't political, they're human rights. Yeah, well, they did say that Black Lives Matter isn't a political movement. It's like, no. It is expressly political. It's another excuse for censorship. Yes, it is. This is why you should follow myself and Callum and anyone else on Gab. Use Gab. Gab is outside of the influence and control of the radical left. Definitely go and use it.
The guy owns it from the bottom up. He owns the service. He owns the code. There is nothing they can do to him.
Exactly. Because they've already done it. They've already done this to him.
That's why I love when he gets an email from like some leftist out there. He just responds like a meme or just tells him to F off.
Yeah.
Or just tells him Jesus is king.
Yeah. And then the ADL were like, that's an anti-Semitic slur. It's like, what?
Jesus.
I mean, if ever you needed proof that all the ADL is accused everything about being anti-Semitism. Shadow Rodney says, do you want to read the Russian one?
Hi, from Russia. My name is George. I noticed that you made an account on VK.com. I'm curious, and why did you decide to use that platform? It's yesterday. Okay, well, it's because we are on all platforms that we can.
Yeah, we're trying to be on every platform.
We don't know much about VK, obviously. It's a Russian outlet, but we did think maybe there would be a buffer between Western social justice censorship. Apparently not, because they've taken down Voldemort, the man who can't be named, TR. So that's why.
Yeah. Shadow Rodney, laughing as my stocks go down, might as well ride till the end, whether it's zero or the moon. And if Sargon Boss roars big wag, I will join Clan Lotus with sub instead of YouTube Dons. Orcs, 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 orcs. Wag, and that's the wagest wag you're going to get.
It's not very wag of you.
It's not very wag. I still have my one stonk, and I'm.
And we're not advising that anyone keep it or sell it or buy any or do anything else.
Oh, no, it's probably a terrible idea to buy it. You'll probably lose loads of money, but it's not about the money, is it? Mike Keo says, is the NHS holding the country to ransom? Kind of. Being told not to pressure the system, is this type of compliance shaming and a tool of authoritarianism? Yes, it is. If the NHS is unable to serve the people, what's its purpose? Good question. And if the people become too poor to prop up the NHS, then have we not just sacrificed the country for something that failed?
It's a religious...
It's ridiculous.
It's a religious monument.
Yeah. The engaged few, there's a name for a body set up to try people, with rules made up on the fly, whose judgment is beyond appeal. Star Chamber. That's very exactly right. The engaged view again. A recent move in the House of Representatives put me in mind of the video of Saddam purging the Revolutionary Command Council in 1979. This has been your wheelhouse. I wonder if Pelosi will make the Republicans man the firing squads too. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked.
So for people who don't know, Saddam pulled a guy out who he's clearly tortured, and he said, I was guilty of trying to overthrow a republic. Also, these names were with me. And then he names half the parliament. And then they take the other half of the parliament outside and make the half of the parliament shoot the traitorous half of the parliament. And then they're in on the plot, and then no one knows who's next either.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You got to watch it.
Incidentally, the woman who's responsible for the article that Time magazine published seems to be like the insiderist of the insiders. She wrote a biography of Nancy Pelosi, just called Pelosi, which, I mean, who's buying that? But she, you know, it's very interesting. How very connected everything is. Impossible to think that Nancy Pelosi isn't somehow implicated, frankly.
In everything.
Yeah. Wertiop says, the gospel is the foundation of all wisdom. Suffer injustice, but do no evil. Self-sacrifice for the greater good. Die rather than disavow truth. To be clear, the church and the word of God are not the same thing. Christianity is corrupt. King James isn't. Also, tyrannids would only describe communism if they perpetually ate each other. Well, thank you for the daily preaching of the gospel, say the atheists.
It's a good comeback on your communism point, though.
No. Hang on.
It's a nice little quip.
No, that's the tyrannids would be describing the failure of communism by doing that, because that is technically the failure of communism.
But they are successful communists because they are biologically made for it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. The tyrannids can actually be communists because they're not human. TF Allspark, Norwegian money to our British heroes. Thank you, sir. My dad, it was my dad's birthday yesterday, so I rang him up and he's talking to me. He's like, I love the podcast, but every time you salute, you're using the wrong hand. I'm like, yeah, I know, but I can't. Like, I've got all this junk in the way, you know. But at least I'm not doing the American salute, I'm doing the British salute. So, you know, don't complain, Dad. Also, hi, Dad. This will be the last of my regular super chats. I'm upgrading from silver to gold this weekend. 50 Shades of AOC. Well, I mean, Do leave us comments on the webpage, and
we'll know it's you.
And we'll know it's you, and we look forward to reading them. Olaf, son of Rasmus, says, build everything you need in this world from the ground up, no matter how worn out your tools or how tired your body may be. Yes, Rudyard Kipling's advice is eternal. The Revenge Society says, look here, look, listen, real talk. You guys are awesome. Thanks for the work you put in. Thank you very much. Simon Butterfield says, it's my birthday today, happy birthday. So I have a few quid for all the entertainment you've given me over the years. Well, thank you very much. Jack Burton says, how much do you know about ancient Egypt? A little bit. Also, Joe Biden's press, seems like the type of press that the divine Julius or Augustus would get. Madness. Oh, yeah, Joe Biden's press and Kamala Harris is, like, it makes North Korean state media look cringe. You know, it makes them cringe.
Coincidentally, I think there was some data that came out last week of CNN, yep. Down 50% viewership. Gone.
Good. Sidebook VR. You can't beat the Empire in the field. Only ambushes work. Remember what the Germans did to Rome. Varus, give me back my legions. Yeah, Varus, legione rede. Time to hide, comrades. We're advocating absolutely zero advice or
The Germans.
Yeah, disavow the Germans, which I mean, that's normal. Disavow the Democrats and Labour, of course, who are basically the Germans. Like I said, now is the time to write to your representatives. You are allowed to write to your representatives. That's what they're for.
It's the last
you
thing
should
you've got.
You should. Yeah, it's the last thing you have. Every single one, all over the place, send them that article. Send them the archived version of that article. Google it. It's called, what was the article called again? Sorry, the title of it was the Shadow Case or the...
Conspiracy.
No. They didn't call it quite that.
I mean, they did in the article.
I mean, we can...
The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign. Yeah. Google that.
Yeah, Google that. We'll leave the link in the description.
Yep. And on the show notes.
Yeah, and you can find it on the show notes of the web on the website. Send them the article. They have to know. Anyway, Fencing Mitch. Shocking. After seizing power, the military is installing a permanent presence of the government building. Burma, no Washington. Yeah, I mean, White Hot Peppers. I hope she's been able to listen. Tell the people there. Ask them what they think. Ask them, you know, to tell their commanders and say, is this real? You know, can we have an investigation? Is this all stuff they're allowed to just admit to in public? And then everyone's going to be like, well, that's that done then. Eric B. They're straight up admitting that they rigged the election and conspired to create an outcome they wanted. Everything else is just rationalization. Moving on. Josh Leek. Have you heard about the bronies rising up against My Little Pony for making a show focusing activism instead of a story at What Time to Be Alive, WAG? No, I haven't.
Base bronies.
But yeah, go bronies. Libertum Arbitrarum says, I've been really into you since Sam Sykes at MythCon. What strategy did you use to humiliate him? Sam Sykes? I think it was Thomas Smith. I didn't really have much of a strategy. I just thought I'd talk to him, and he did it to himself. Red Lighting says, Time's just admitted to the cathedral and its tendrils. Yes, that's exactly what they've described. The cathedral, right there. It's the progressive movement. Notice how they couch it. The progressive movement. I mean, again, all of the sort of, the reactionary guys should all be, hyping this up and spreading this everywhere. This has to be everywhere. Everyone archive the article, please. There's a blatant admission, and they're laughing at us. Yes, they are. EZE, is anyone surprised they're basically admitting they cheated now that they've secured power? This is part of a greater demoralization effort. Stay virtuous and keep up the good work. That's right, stay virtuous. Alexander Cross, they committed their crimes. Look, there are some things we can't just outright state. They are scum, though, that we can state. Carry on. Move up a bit, John. Thank you. Captain Bigos, I'm sure that you know after every POTUS's term, a portrait is painted of him and displayed in the National Gallery. Do you think Trump will get a portrait as well, or will this be the odd one out?
He'll be the odd one out.
Yeah, he'll be the odd
one out. They'll disavow it. Like, they're trying to take away his security clearance.
Yep. Daniel J. Carica, did you know that AOC fought the evil bunny of Carbonog and nearly wet herself fighting the chicken of Gandor? I didn't. I look forward to her telling me how dangerous all that was in her next Instagram post, where she was clearly in danger. Wolfgang Deo, in the beginning, Ted Cruz, Zodiac killed AOC. Alexander H., there is a website that is aggregating court admissible evidence called hereistheevidence.com. Yeah, I think we featured it before. We did feature it the other day. It's hundreds and hundreds of examples. Daniel J. Carica, protest idea. We go to DC on a Sunday with tea bags and Nerf guns and throw all the tea into the reflecting pool and have a Nerf gun battle thoughts for $1,776, which is the appropriate amount. Honestly, throwing tea in the reflecting pool would actually be quite interesting. I don't know about the Nerf gun.
That's some good imagery, actually.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Isn't it? That's actually some really good imagery.
Right, yeah. Next Republican march, get some tea, yeah. Throw it in the reflecting pool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way to do it. That's very good imagery.
Pink Buncheon. This Times article reads like Palpatine publishing the sequels as prequels as a documentary. Yeah, it does. It really does. It's just like, it's so weird how they're like, yeah, so we want everyone to know how we did this. It's like, what?
Egos, man.
Yeah. It is ego. That's what that's about. Ego.
I didn't get any likes out of it.
Sorry?
I didn't get any likes or retweets.
Well, they probably got a lot on Twitter. On Twitter, yeah. They're all probably praising. Oh, very good. You saved the Republic.
Not enough.
Tigriff says, this Time article needs to be in front of Project Veritas. Well, I think it only came out either today or yesterday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this was like breaking news as we got into the office today. So I imagine that, and this is why you guys, you have to come in, you have to be emailing it to various people, send it around to all of the people on Twitter, email it to your representatives. You've got to do it. These meetings will be recorded somewhere, and I'm sure they'll be very interesting. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Does Zoom keep a copy of all the recordings that happen on their servers?
Subpoena Zoom.
Alexandru, like thieves in the night. Shaker Silver, if you start from the position of the GOP will suppress the vote, like many Dems do, this conspiracy seems like a justified act of self-defense. That's how they're framing it. But it's, I mean, again, they just kept going on, well, Donald Trump's got this massive surge. It's like, yeah, people like Trump. Southeastern Kaiju saying, thanks for not staying on this topic. Joseph Steelin says, basically, they are so proud of how they need can't to tell that. The world. You can't keep a narcissist quiet. That's true. That's exactly right. Matt Orlando, if I told my girlfriend they were going to admit the whole thing after the election, it's the behavior of an empire. Next, they'll admit to 9/11 and JFK and said they did it out of love for democracy.
Oh, God.
Crap Guitar Show. Sounds like a channel I want to subscribe to be honest. The article is written in a way to justify what was done in disguised as protecting democracy. Yeah, that's correct. Gideon Ruse. God, they literally ran a national conspiracy against a legitimate president, and this is going to blow up. Yeah, it had better, because that's exactly what's happened. They literally ran a national conspiracy that they thought sounded like a fever dream that you wouldn't believe against the sitting president. That's literally what happened. Daniel J. Carica, AOC was the second gunman on the grassy knoll. Rocket, rocket, rocket.
According to AOC, that's true.
Yep, according to AOC's Instagram.
Sargon is just a robot controlled by AOC.
True. don't know why she's making me make her look stupid, but okay. Weird flex. Mike Howell, all this 40k talk has me painting up my orc warg again. Man, I really, really am so tempted to get
orcs,
some 40k
orcs.
Miniatures, man. I really want to. But the thing is, I know how much time it'll spend, and I've got too much other work to do, so I just can't, and it's just this weird addiction. Thanks for my daily dose of reason indulging my love of little plastic war dolls. Well, you're welcome. Red Lighting says, I'm not an American, but I'm so effing angry right now. Yeah, dude, I tell you. Like, reading through this earlier, it was pretty maddening. Stephen Kraszewski says, Alex Jones always says that the part of a ritual to flaunt their law-breaking in our face and show us that we are powerless. QED this article. How's he wrong? Wolfgang Deo, well-funded cabal, so Q was right. Well, I actually don't know what Q said about that, so, I mean, they
the
say...
The Democrats seem to be acting as Q is real.
So. Yeah, they said that they got hundreds of millions from both the government and private enterprises. Mark Zuckerberg gave them 300 million, as they say in the article. And as they said, it was a conspiracy, so, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's like...
That's their opinion.
Yeah, that's their opinion, not ours. Aaron Eubanks, Ministry of Time, Biden, was always the more popular candidate. Yeah, exactly. Sarah the Box, white supremacy is the left-wing international conspiracy theory that, despite numerous debunkings, refuses to just die. Yep, same as patriarchy. Turwox says, just wow, grade A freaking nut-crunching wow. I knew there was dishonest people on the left, but this is just wow. Turwox, the way to look at this is there are a few honest people on the left too. They'll just tell you what they did. Segrim's Jin says, the article is like their version of the confession from the Telltale Heart. Yeah. Wolfgang Tayo, thanks time, you showed the world, you showed how strong, not fragile, a constitutional republic is. Following the constitution yields democracy like the People's Republic of China. Justin Dubai says, Squealer is here to tell us how great Napoleon defeated Snowball. That's an Animal Farm reference. Cyrus Guitar and Lift says, as a Canadian, between the Time article and the COVID restrictions, the black pill has been shoved in. I feel there's no point in voting anymore. On the plus side, what they're describing sounds like a vast amount of effort was expended. And I don't think they can expend that level of effort repeatedly. So I think that it's not something that will happen a lot, if that helps. I think there are some people who definitely need to be held to account and sent to jail. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to happen because obviously Biden, the beneficiary of the self-admitted conspiracy.
Pardon them if he has to.
Well, I mean, the lady who met with Zuckerberg and Dorsey has been nominated for Biden's cabinet. So take from that what you think. Daniel J. Carica again. We're taking turns posing for pictures on the armored car singing the national anthem. Videos on my YouTube channel. This narrative is BS. Yep. Colin P., I don't understand why they would write this article. What purpose does it serve to show your strategy? It doesn't make sense. Well, that's because, Colin, you don't think that you're the ruler of the world. You don't think that you control the way that people think. And you think there might be accountability for the things that you've done. I think you would only write this, as people said, if you wanted to brag. And I can't see any other reason. I mean, they literally say in the article that they want the people who are relevant to, the progressive movement to essentially applaud what they achieved here. That's why they've released this article. If we can go up a bit, John, but we'll do a couple more because I'm afraid we're over time now. Caramel Horse, the Scottish Government has made organ donation mandatory with an opt-out option. This is immoral. Yes, it is. If you're forced to opt out, it's no longer a donation. That's correct. Stetson's Gold, Carl, you really should meet Heels versus Babyface. I don't know who that is. Zoranax, can I effing rage over 2020 now, or must I continue forcefully adopting and stifling this and stifling Milquetoast position? Well, yes. Lady Kiri, could Trump use this article in his court case as evidence? Yeah. So I had a segment about Trump's impeachment coming up and how
they're asking him to give evidence.
Yes, and but his campaign refused as well. That's the
Why?
Thing. Well, I don't know, right? And so, yeah, to very quickly finish, we'll cover this on Monday. I'll take that segment and use that on Monday and add anything else to it that happens. Sorry. We'll talk about it on Monday. But basically, yeah, the last thing the Trump campaign want to do is forfeit this opportunity in front of the entire world to not be able to give their side of the story.
This is golden tape.
Yeah, exactly. This is the potential to be a massive L for the Democrats. And literally just quoting from this article would be more than enough, I think. So Trump definitely should testify, and the Democrats are idiots for thinking that that's a good thing for them. Unless, of course, they know that the result in advance, which, of course, I don't. But anyway, thank you, everyone, for joining us. And like we said, send this article to your representatives. You have every right to do it. They have every right. They have every responsibility to pay attention to you as a constituent of theirs. And this demands answers. In the meantime, if you'd like more content from us, there's loads of great premium content on lotuseats.com. We're going to have the Christopher Hitchens premium podcast up very soon. And of course, this keeps us in business because it's going to be inevitable until all of the other avenues of making money have been demonetized from us. So, because we cover stuff like this. So, thanks for watching, and we'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone. Take care.